Well, now as a composer, your job is, of course, to write music, but do you also use silence as a composing tool?
Oh, I do, yes. In fact, I try to talk directors out of music in scenes a lot of times. What happens, and I think it's the nature of the business now, because people are editing their films and putting temporary music under the films while they're editing them, mm-hmm. in order to make it more impressive when the director does his director's cut and first shows it to the studio. He wants to make sure it's as impressive as it can be. So he puts temporary music. Usually the composer hasn't even been hired yet, in order to make it impressive. But it starts becoming a crutch for the director at that point, because, if the studio liked it, then does that mean that they also liked all the music that was in it? And then when they market test it to audiences to get a feeling for if the movie's working or not before they release it, they also have this temporary score involved in it. What happens is they get used to it and they get afraid to mess with it, especially if it's been successful at these market testing.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time a composer gets involved in it, you're not only faced with music in places that it may not need to be, but you're also faced with, we've been using this love theme from, let's say, Titanic, and we really love the way it makes the movie feel here. Can you come up with something that's good? so it's like, we can try. It's called temp love. Directors have a tendency to fall in love with certain things that seem to be working in their film, and so one of the hard parts of a director's job nowadays is to be creative within the confines of their having fallen in love with a particular kind of music at a particular spot in their film.
Now, as a composer, you're also brought in generally late in the process of the filmmaking process. How is that for you? Does it affect you physically? Are you by the end of it? Are you like exhausted and glad it's over? Or,
well, it's like I compare it to, it's like standing at a subway at a local stop and trying to catch an express train. It's you have to run and jump as fast as you can because the train is not going to stop for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to hope there's a friendly hand there to pull you aboard. What I have to do, and this is one of the unfortunate things about the speed at which one has to work nowadays, they've compressed the post-production schedule, which is the last part of the filmmaking process, where they add the dialogue and the sound effects and the music. They keep compressing that to making it shorter, and they keep having these test market screenings and changing the film even while you're working on it. So, as you know, creativity is a trial and error process.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have the chance to make mistakes and try something different, then you're going to keep doing what you know works. And that's playing it safe. So in order to give myself the time to make mistakes, I get up at 4 in the morning when I'm working on a project and don't go to sleep till probably 11 at night.
Hmm.
Just to avail myself of as much creative time as I can get. And, you do that for 6 to 8 weeks at a shot. And it's by the time it's over with, you're ready for a very long nap.
Well, now, you also see the final product of a film long before the general public sees it.
Uh-huh.
Does that kind of ruin the movie-going experience for you?
No, it doesn't. Because if I'm working on it, then, I've seen a lot of it from the beginning. I love going to movies just as a fan. And I know a movie's really got me when I can't even remember paying attention to the music. I'm such a big fan of movies. I'll go see an adventure movie just because I love adventure movies. Sometimes I'll go see a movie to hear a score by a particular, composer that I like. I'd rather just turn off all my critical thinking when I go to see a film just as an audience member. What it does ruin for me sometimes is the movie-making process, the magic.
Mm-hmm.
I know all the tricks, so when I see it on the screen, sometimes I know how they did that effect, or I know that was a CGI instead of a real truck blowing up, or you get a little bit jaded in terms of the movie magic, but I still find myself totally engrossed in it and suspending my disbelief and just being taken on the ride by a really well-made movie.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've worked in several genres of film. Is there any genre that you haven't worked in that you'd like to?
You know, I've worked in a lot of genres, but on a lot of different levels. I did, mm-hmm. A lot of dramas or thrillers or something early in my career, and as I said, as you get known for a particular kind of movie, if you are successful at that particular kind of movie, that tends to be what you're thought of as and what you get offered. So I would love to go back and work on, say, a movie like Silence of the Lambs.
Mm.
One of those, not horror movies, but thrillers that have a twisted aspect to them. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. All right, so how would a score that you write today differ from one that you wrote at the beginning of your career, like, let's say, the Cheech and Chong films?
Well, it would be, so you're talking about 25 years, so it would certainly be more informed in terms of experience and technically a lot more capable. But what I hope that it would be is as imaginative and as enthusiastic as I felt when I was starting out writing music then. I hope that film scores that I write now, even though they might be better crafted and more informed through experience, would still have that same almost naive kind of enthusiasm that film scores that I wrote back there had.
So what does the future hold for you?
Well, talking about Cheech and Chong, I'm working on a film called Harold and Kumar 2.
Oh, yes?
There was a Harold and Kumar Goes to White Castle, and I didn't do that one, but I am doing the subsequent one.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sort of the Cheech and Chong of the 21st century, and I find it kind of fun that after all this time I'm working on something that's, in a way, like where I started.
Well, I appreciate your time today.
It was my pleasure.